Hi, everyone. It is a big dance version of Scrambled Eggs. Joe McCann here with Phil Bush talking Marquette basketball once again. Phil, we know the brackets. Now let's talk about the opponent, as people have kind of started breaking it down already, as we kind of got a late start on this week. But let's talk about the matchup with Davidson. From what you've been able to read, a lot of good stuff out there, particularly from the folks at Paint Touches and Anonymous Eagle, a lot of good previews out there, Crack Sidewalks, which with whom we are now affiliated, by the way, to be on Crack Sidewalks.
Big props for us. I never thought I'd make it this big.
Yeah, so we're just moving on up in the world. But anyway, plenty of great stuff out there. And let's talk about the Davidson team. What do you think about the matchup, the 3-14 with Davidson?
Well, first thing, I have to say I was utterly shocked. I was convinced we were going to get a 5 seed when we didn't get one of the first Midwest 4s. So to get a 3 seed was fantastic. And then we get a Davidson team that can be a little frisky, perhaps. I don't know if the committee's an evil genius or if they just really got lucky, but it's kind of an interesting matchup in styles. Davidson can shoot the three and has some inside presence. We struggle against the three, so that could be a kind of an upset kind of chemistry there. It'll be a very interesting game. I, for once in my life, am wildly optimistic about this, contrary to message boards and ESPN. I think we've got a real good shot against Davidson.
Yeah, I'll say this about the 3 seed. I was definitely pleasantly surprised to see Marquette get the 3. You look at some of the other 4s in the bracket, and, you kind of see, or some of the other 3s even. Is Marquette really in that class? Some of the other 3s in the bracket are Florida, Michigan State, and New Mexico. I mean, that's pretty good company, especially when you look at the next line with the 4 seeds are Kansas State, St. Louis, who finished the season really strong, Michigan, who looked like a national championship contender maybe as recently as 2 weeks ago before they lost, 3 weeks ago before they lost to Penn State, and of course the other 4 seed is Syracuse, who really stumbled down the stretch but kind of woke up at the Big East tournament. I think it shows some respect from the committee, maybe based on some of the past success Buzz Williams teams have had in the NCAA tournament, and maybe putting a little bit more emphasis on the regular season, and maybe putting an emphasis on having a regular season championship. I think that probably played into maybe Marquette getting that 3 seed. I'm not going to complain. Happy with it. As far as the matchup with Davidson, what some people are saying about Marquette, I think it's kind of on the negative side, I should say. It's kind of one of those us-them things where if we say it, things we say all year, this team's inconsistent on the road. Yeah, they haven't played well away from the Bradley Center. Yeah, they have trouble with turnover. Well, if we say it, that's fine. But to hear other people say it, that's what gets us a little hot under the collar. Because now we want to defend our team and say, like, we can criticize our team. Don't you criticize our team.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a case of a medium pylon when it comes to the brackets. What always seems interesting is there seems to be a favorite upset that the media kind of everyone seems to glom on. I don't know that we're the favorite. I think generally the favorite to be upset is Minnesota over UCLA. I haven't seen one single person pick UCLA yet, and that's a 6-11 matchup. But I think there's several things at play. I think it's a general feeling of overseeding for Marquette, and there's again, I think to your point that Marquette's gotten the inconsistent label. But it is absolutely an end us versus them, because it's kind of one of these things where all the people talking about us haven't paid attention to us all season, and now all of a sudden every word out of their mouth is, oh, Marquette's going to lose this one. But again, Marquette's biggest weakness is turnovers, and Davidson does not force any turnovers. So it's not like we have to worry about ball pressure or Junior Cadugan being rushed into anything. I think this plays right into Marquette's strengths, where they can set up their offense and just go right at Davidson.
To defend people who are maybe picking upsets, part of the media's job really is just to create a buzz in this tournament, get people filling out brackets and just trying to pick an upset. And, why not pick Marquette if you're going to want to throw out something a little bit outrageous if you're looking for a 3-14? Honestly, no. I'm not offended by it. So, but I could honestly see how it could happen. Some of these mid-majors that have a ton of experience like Davidson does, there's a lot of seniors on that team. I could totally see it happening. But I tend to lean to where you are, Phil, is that I honestly feel okay about this one because Buzz Williams teams, the past couple years especially, in the tournament have come out really focused and played really well in their first games. Remember the Xavier game 2 years ago? That was a game I was pretty sure they were going to lose. They were an 11 that year playing Two Holloway and Xavier. And I just thought Two Holloway would have a really good game, and Marquette absolutely locked him down, played a great game. And really, I don't recall what the final score was, but I remember maybe being closer than the final score being closer than what the game actually was, because Marquette really dominated Xavier defensively that day. And then last year, they just really blew BYU's doors off and played a really great game in the first round.
I think Marquette's teams are. I think you're spot on, Joe. That the Marquette teams are just prepared this time of year that other teams are maybe not.
Yeah, I expect a solid effort. The 3-point shooting concerns me, especially the way the Big East tournament went, and with Marquette kind of leaving Connaughton open a lot. And as we said in our brief podcast breaking down the Big East tournament, doubling off every paint touch proved to be detrimental to Marquette in that game because they left 3-point shooters open, particularly Connaughton. He knocked him down, and that's what really ultimately hurt Marquette, one of the things anyway, in that Notre Dame loss. Don't leave 3-point shooters open. I don't know if we'll see an adjustment to Buzz's strategy. I think once you get this far, it's tough to totally change your philosophy. Maybe we may see some minor adjustments, maybe a little more perimeter-oriented. But I don't know if you want to be too spread out and give this Cohen kid too much room to work down low, because he's a kid who's 6'10", he's their leading scorer, and he can step out and hit the outside shot. Good free throw shooter. This is a good free throw shooting team. 80% as a team.
Well, now who do you see Cohen? I was going to bring Cohen up. Who do you see? Because as you mentioned, he does have a step out game. He can face up, shoot the jump shot, especially fairly decent from 3-point range. Who do you see from Marquette guarding him? Do you see Otule guarding him? Otule is not necessarily he's much more agile than he used to be, sans the knee injury, but do you see him really guarding out at the perimeter? Is this going to be a Gardner, or do you go shorter with a Jamil Wilson and try and hope that he can hold up in the post?
That's a really good question. I would say you definitely give Otule a shot at first, and see if he can control the paint, win the rebounding battle, and if Cohen's going to try to play inside and get points in the paint, you certainly stick with Otule. If he's stretching the defense too much, then, yeah, I think you have to adjust. Gardner's probably not going to be that fleet-footed and be able to guard him all over and follow him all over the place either. So then maybe it would be beneficial to go small and see. And Jamil Wilson would have to be the best option because Steve Taylor, as great as he is as an offensive rebounder, and really just on the offensive end of the floor in general, obviously his detriment is on the defensive end of the floor, so probably not the guy you want guarding their leading scorer. So it has to be, to me, it either has to be Otule or Jamil Wilson.
Right, because Gardner, Gardner certainly, his fitness has vastly improved from where he was as a freshman, but you don't want him burning a whole bunch of energy chasing Cohen around when you could have him using that on the offensive end. I wonder, I know it's not traditional because you typically say a good shooting team, you don't want to go into a zone, but I wonder if we don't see the Oxtool 2-3 zone where you put Junior and maybe Vander up top and then some combination of Taylor, Gardner, Otule, and Wilson rotating amongst the three down on the bottom, and really just go, take away some of the shooting with just athleticism, quickness, and Taylor, from the Syracuse game, really proved out his ability to play one of the wings on the 2-3. I don't wonder if that's not a potential solution we see.
I don't think you rule anything out in the NCAA tournament. This is where coaching in the tournament really comes in, is recognizing where you're weak, where you're getting beat, and adjusting. And as the game goes along, at halftime, as the second half goes along, abandon what is not working and make some kind of adjustment. If a zone works, stick with the zone. I mean, we've seen Buzz make odd adjustments that maybe have worked, like going, say, with a an odd lineup that includes, you know, with Vanderblue on the bench and Todd Mayo and Steve Taylor in the game, and it was just working, and it won that game. I wouldn't rule anything out. I wouldn't be against trying a zone, especially if they're knocking down a lot of threes early, and because Marquette can't be in a situation where they're trading three for twos all day, because Marquette is not going to catch up with anybody with outside shooting. I think that's when Marquette really gets in trouble, especially on some of those road games that got out of hand, is when they were struggling. They try to shoot their way out of it and try to hit threes and try to catch up that way. And they're not a three-point shooting team, so it's just brick after brick and run out after run out for the other team. Whereas where other games when Marquette has struggled on the road, the way they've kind of gotten back in it and settled down a little bit is going inside to Devontae Gardner and maybe sometimes Otule when he's had some of his better offensive games. So that, you know, the adjustments will be important. And Buzz has shown the past couple years that he's shown up very prepared. So that's kind of why I think I could be I'm a little optimistic that despite the experience, which I think can be a little bit overrated when it comes to March Madness, I mean, because all these guys are within 3 years of each other age-wise. So it's not like it's the NBA where you're talking, you know, mid-30s guys against 22-year-old guys.
Right, you're not talking savvy veterans of some sort against rookies.
Yeah, you're
rookies.
Not talking about the Spurs, you know, against the Clippers.
Right.
As far as, you know, age difference.
Well, and I do think the other thing that we haven't talked about with Davidson is it looks like even if they're, and I apologize to the listening audience, all six of you, but I don't remember the backup's name that's been out with concussion-like symptoms. But even if he comes back, that still only gives Davidson eight deep typically. Now the benches get shorter in the tournament, but by the same token, if you know, with our bigs and with our attacking offense, if you get Vander driving the lane, we could put them in some serious foul trouble. You know, if you get Cohen a couple of quick fouls, that takes a lot of offense out of Davidson's hands. And that's maybe what Buzz looks at. So, you know, and I agree with you from an experience standpoint. Let's be honest, you know, Davidson has experience. Yes, they went deep with Louisville last year, but it's not like Marquette hasn't been to a Sweet 16 the last 2 years previously.
Right. A lot of guys in this team, this is their third. They're trying to get to their third Sweet 16. I mean, Junior
right.
Dugan has led this team to two Sweet 16s. Jamil Wilson played a big role last year. So, I mean, there are plenty of guys who have kind of been through this before. So we'll see how they do.
Right. Well, and the other thing is, you know, everyone makes a big deal of Davidson's won 17 in a row. But they're 2 of 5 in against RPI top 100. I'm going all stat head on you. I mean, Davidson has experience, but they haven't played a Big East schedule. You know, I'm not ruling out that Davidson could upset us. I agree. There's potential there, but
sure, they lost to Duke by 17. They lost to Gonzaga by 14. So, they did get beat up in those games, but they didn't get embarrassed.
Right.
The way, say, like Marquette was embarrassed at Florida and at Louisville, but those games were a long time ago too.
Right. Well, and this is a different team, and I just think at the end of the day, Marquette's got a really good shot. It is a 3-14 matchup. It's intended to be to favor the better seed. I think Marquette is on paper. Marquette is the better team, but as you always say, Joe, you know, games aren't played on paper. They're played in television sets.
I stole that from Kenny May, but yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, since you didn't have to tell me that, I wouldn't have told anyone. But anyway, I think Marquette's just got. Yes, Davidson's got some advantages, but I think Marquette fans in general have this tendency to be neurotic. And I would like them to be a little more confident. I think the team's going to be confident. I think we're going to go in and we're going to get a solid win. We may not blow the doors off, but I think we're going
to really,
get...
To me, it almost seems as like too simple as just saying, if Marquette plays well, Marquette is going to win.
Yes. Well, and you could have Davidson hit an extraordinary amount of threes. Sure, but you could also have Marquette. You know, Marquette's three-point shooting has been dismal, but technically speaking, there's nothing atrocious about their shot form or their shot selection. They just haven't been going in. Look, I don't have the statistics back it up, but look at Mayo. Mayo is way under his shooting percentage from last year, and there's nothing that says that Mayo should be shooting where he is now. You know, he could come in and light off a couple of threes and all of a sudden we're ready for a tear.
Wasn't it a tournament game last year when Mayo really caught fire? Was it the Murray State game?
Or yes.
Or the BYU game? It was one of the tournament games last year where, like, all of a sudden Mayo started hitting threes again after he'd been quiet for about a month.
Yeah, I think it was the Murray State game, if I'm remembering correctly. It's fuzzy. I was in Phoenix at a bar when I watched that game, so I may be a little fuzzy on the details.
Why were you fuzzy?
Well, you know,
it's the dry heat, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, it you sweat a lot, and I was dehydrated or something along those lines. But yes, the team can catch on fire. And I also don't think that, like, just because Davidson, even if it's a close game, I don't think that necessarily reflects Marquette's success, you know, in future games in the tournament. I think Davidson's a good matchup. I think it's interesting. I think that, you know, we talk about Marquette being a three seed. I think the committee has done an interesting thing where they seem to have rewarded people with higher seeds, but not necessarily given them better matchups. Because I would argue that Wisconsin is a five seed. Wisconsin slot. I would like to be in Wisconsin's position as a five seed in their bracket, as opposed to a three seed in ours.
I would love to be in Wisconsin's bracket. I mean, to be the five seed. Granted, I think Wisconsin would have it'll be tough to play Kansas State in Kansas City. I mean, there'll be a lot of purple in the crowd there. But as far as matchups and teams, yeah, Wisconsin has an easier road to the Elite Eight than Marquette, for sure.
Right. You know, but I would say this. You know, Wisconsin may have an easier road, but Marquette's isn't terrible. I think Davidson is a solid matchup for us. It's a good test. Quite frankly, I don't want to skate the first game either. I want the team kind of awake and alert because in the next round we could be facing all sorts of interesting matchups either way.
Right. You know, tough to predict, but maybe looking ahead a little bit. You know, if it's Butler again, I'm sure we'll see Rodney Clark shot at least 15 times.
Well, then I'll get dehydrated again just from vomiting every time I see
but
that.
I think Marquette fans have to be numb to it now because we see it on the Watch ESPN app every week.
That's true.
Watch ESPN app is Rodney Clark shot.
Oh.
So I'm honestly kind of numb to it at this point because I've seen it so much. But bottom line is Marquette went toe-to-toe with Butler in Maui, neutral floor. Granted, long time ago, but without Todd Mayo. And Marquette, I think, is a better team now than they were then. Butler, I don't know, maybe about the same. I don't know, maybe they're probably a little better.
I feel like Butler is probably about the same as they were. I mean, I've watched them a decent amount. I don't know that they've regressed, but I don't know that they've got appreciably better. But Marquette, Otule certainly contributing more. Like you said, Mayo's back, and Vander is much better than he was in Maui. So I think I would kind of relish an opportunity to go at Butler again.
I think I haven't read much on Bucknell at all, but from what I understand, it would actually probably be a similar game to Davidson. And Bucknell does have one big guy, and then just a lot of little guys around him who can play. But, you know, you focus on the big guy and just hope you don't give up too many threes as you're concentrating on him. So I think if it's Bucknell after Davidson, I think it would be a very similar game. So I think Davidson, in that respect, maybe would prepare Marquette well to face Bucknell in the next round.
Right.
But if it's Butler, we've seen that matchup, and I think it would be another great game. Now, the question, can Marquette get to another Sweet 16? And that would be – I hope there's, next time we do this podcast, Marquette is still playing. We'll see if they are. But if Marquette does get that far and gets to three straight Sweet 16s, what an accomplishment that would be for this team to really kind of, break new ground for the program.
I not to be flippant about it because I'm semi-serious, but doesn't that get us another banner? I mean, what are the number of teams that have gone to back-to-back Sweet 16s? Especially,
I'm not sure, like I think last wasn't it the first time since the 70s that Marquette had done it?
Yeah, I think
I'm sure like teams like Duke and Michigan State have had, in North Carolina and UCLA have had long runs of getting that far, but for Marquette it'd be another feather in Buzz Williams' cap. That's for sure.
Well, and again, I want to reiterate at the beginning of this season, I think the general consensus was rebuilding year. We'd like to just make the tournament and show our face at the door. We now have a three seed where we have a legitimate shot at saying, oh, we got a shot at a Sweet 16. And if the pieces right break right, you know, who knows? Again, you know, Marquette is highly dependent on, you know, I'll continue to say it until people believe me, but Marquette's highly dependent on matchups. So I think it's going to depend on who falls and who continues through the tournament. But Marquette's got a shot to go even beyond the Sweet 16. And again, I don't think it's going to be a high probability. But the fact that we're talking about with this team has to reflect on the coaching.
It has to. And I wouldn't rule out anything for Marquette.
Right.
And I know everyone, you know, no one's really looking this far ahead, but everyone's thinking about it. We know who the number one team is in Marquette's bracket. And we know how wild it would be if Marquette matched up with that team in the Elite Eight. It would be an emotional game. Fans would be so fired up. And, boy, that would be an emotional reunion for sure.
Well, here's the question. I've been thinking about this today as I've been traveling in Indiana actually for work, which has been eye-opening and somewhat disturbing. Let's say you were guaranteed a matchup with that team that will remain nameless, but there's a lot of tanning going on. I'm afraid of that matchup just because I don't want to lose. That would be like losing to Notre Dame and Louisville combined, I feel like, right now.
Be a bitter pill to swallow. And to see, like, if Marquette were to watch the tanned one cut down nets as they're sitting on the sideline, that would hurt.
Well, and you know,
it's the risk reward, though.
Right.
To beat him would be so awesome.
It would be the greatest thrill I've had in my young life. But if we lose to that team, the tanned one's going to go on television and talk about how great and how far he's really glad Bruz has built on all the tremendous success he had there, and it's going to be a lot of veiled references to how far he took the program, and it will make me want to commit violent acts of desperation not seen since Dayton on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh goodness, I feel like we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, but maybe that would be a topic we can break down in depth on our podcast next week if things go well
right.
this weekend. And let's
right.
hope they do.
Let's talk.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if we're going to talk about that, what's the path to get there? Do you see us being able to get to that kind of level, get to the Elite Eight where we're facing kind of game?
Look, you know, we've talked about the inconsistency with Marquette. I think thinking that Marquette could put together four consecutive really good games, because once you get that deep in the tournament, you got to play great games against great teams. And I think it would be really hard for this Marquette team to be that good for that long. I think they can do that once or twice. I think to do three or four in a row to beat a team like Miami and then IU, I think that would be asking. I think that's getting really, really optimistic.
Yeah.
I think a Sweet 16 is a realistic expectation for this team. I know Buzz said before the season that he wants Marquette to raise the bar and the Sweet 16 isn't good enough anymore. For me, that would be, quote-unquote, good enough. Do I want the national championship? Of course. We all want to see Marquette win the national championship. I'm just trying to be realistic about it. And I think Sweet 16 would be – I would just stand up and salute this team and say, what an amazing run.
Well, I see, and maybe I'm being overly optimistic and biased. I agree with you. You got to put together some good games. But I also think the way the bracket breaks down – with Davidson, Butler, and Bucknell, I don't see anyone where I look at those games and say, Marquette's got to be their best. I think they can be good and still win in any one of those games. So if you're
I think you got to be great to beat Brad Stevens in March.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. He will take it to another level, and from an adjustment standpoint, you know, it's different than it's different than Maui in November as opposed to, you know, the dancing in March. But having said that, I think the way we advance to that kind of level, to the Elite Eight, I the one team I fear more than any in our bracket would be Miami. I don't know that's the team that – I don't know that we could beat Miami, and that's the one where we would need help. Somebody like Illinois who can shoot threes getting real hot and taking Miami out for us. Because I don't know that we could take them out. In terms of matchups, I almost fear Miami more than I fear Indiana, just for Marquette's team.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. Miami's solid. I mean, ACC, regular season, and postseason champ. Miami's a great team.
With a lot of length and a lot of shooting ability and some attacking guards that, you know, it'd be reminiscent. I think if we end up facing Miami, I don't think it would be that different than we faced North Carolina a couple of years ago and really, really struggled in that game. I think we would see a similar result facing Miami.
As I said last week, the trend for Marquette under Buzz Williams the last 2 years, focused, dominant performance in the first game, nail-biting thriller win in the second game, doors blown off in the third game. I could see it again this year.
Yeah, oh, I agree. I agree with that, which is tough. But, you know, I guess that's just the way March is. You only get one team that can win the national championship at any given time.
Yep. Looking at the bracket as a whole, Phil, we've maybe touched on upsets a little bit. Why don't we just talk about who you like in the Final Four and your national champ? And I'll say this. I hope this doesn't happen. But I think it is so realistic that we could be looking at what I would call the Marquette Nightmare Final Four. The Final Four that would make Marquette fans just vomit and not want to watch. Where we could see Louisville, Indiana, and either Wisconsin or Notre Dame in the Final Four.
Yeah, and that would be a national travesty. I would find a hole, I would hide in it, and not realize anything happened for 3 months.
Realistic too, because I think Indiana and Louisville are obviously the favorites in their brackets. And as we mentioned earlier, I think Wisconsin has a really solid road to get to the Final Four. Certainly to the Elite Eight. I think if they meet either, I think any of those three teams at the bottom would be tough for Wisconsin. Whether it's I still like Arizona.
Oh, I've got Arizona going to the Final Four.
Yeah, Arizona's. I think that's a strong six seed.
Yeah, I like you said, that bracket is any given day. I do have I have Arizona, so I avoid the Wisconsin Notre Dame nightmare. I do have Louisville. Louisville is just too good. Unfortunately, as it is. There's just too much talent there. They can play too many different ways, and that's unlike a lot of teams in March. There's an analyst for the NFL, Mike Lombardi, that always talks about NFL teams needing to be able to play left-handed, meaning they need to be able to play opposite of their strengths. And I think Louisville can play opposite of their strengths if they need to in certain matchup situations. So I think Louisville can play left-handed. There's too much talent for them not to go to the Final Four. I do have, unfortunately, I have Indiana going to the Final Four. Again, I think they've got a lot of talent there. And, with the exception of perhaps, Miami would face give them some competition. Syracuse and perhaps Marquette, I think anyone else is a poor matchup for Indiana. And then coming out of the South, I actually have Georgetown. I like an actual all Big East national championship. I think Georgetown Louisville would be at least what I'm calling for.
As for my Final Four, by the way, I mentioned the Nightmare Final Four. There's also a chance for the Dream Final Four for the Jesuits. We could have St. Louis, Gonzaga, Marquette, and Georgetown.
Yeah, well, and can I go on record and say I've watched a couple of St. Louis games now? And I was relatively against them coming into the Big East, and I know you don't take a season at a time. That St. Louis team is pretty good.
Right, and they have the fan support, huge market. Would love to have them in the new Big East. Fan support's definitely there when they're good, and I think they would be good in the new Big East.
Well, and I don't think, whether you believe in superstition or not, I don't think you can take away the karma of the Rick Majerus.
Maybe pulling strings up there for those guys.
Yeah,
pulling a few strings for Marquette too. That'd be just dynamite.
Yeah, I just think St. Louis looks pretty good right now, and they can play a lot of different ways. But yeah, anyway, that was just my personal put that on the record. I think St. Louis could do some things in the tournament.
Anyway, while I'm pulling for the all-Jesuit Final Four, my actual Final Four, what I have, like you, I do have Indiana in the Final Four. I actually have Ohio State. I think Ohio State, Arizona was a tough call for me, but I do like Ohio State to come out of that region, west. Louisville's bracket is brutal. I think a lot of teams that I might have picked to go to the Final Four if they were in other brackets are in that bracket, including Duke, Michigan State, and St. Louis. Good news for Louisville, they don't have to play all of those teams, but they do have to play Duke, who did beat them back in non-conference play. And the Maryland loss is the only reason I'm not that confident about Duke, because they had been unbeaten with Ryan Kelly before that. I'm going to forgive that. So I have Duke going to the Final Four. I actually have Duke beating Louisville again. So I have Duke going to the Final Four. I have Florida coming out of that bracket. I have them beating Kansas in the Elite Eight. So I have a Final Four of Duke, Florida, Ohio State, and Indiana. And in the championship, I have Duke over Hoosiers.
Okay. Yeah, see, I unfortunately have Rick Pitino's group taking out Georgetown for the national championship. So, quite frankly, I hope both of us are wrong.
I hope I am terribly wrong and Marquette just blows up my bracket, St. Louis too. Go Jesuits. See how far they go.
The one question I have for you, the Duke-Louisville game, wasn't Louisville without Gordy Jang?
You know what? They may have been.
That was the only thing I was thinking when I picked Louisville. Actually, in my bracket, I secretly have Creighton. I'm going for the new Big East, so I have Creighton upsetting Duke. So I've gone all in on the new Big East.
Yeah, Jang did not play in that game. You're correct. I just looked at the box score. I'm still sticking by it. I'm not changing now. I think Duke is rock solid with Ryan Kelly.
Yeah.
Great team. And, Coach K he was in the championship game a few years ago, but after the terrible disappointment losing to Lehigh as a 2-15 last year, I think Duke will be refocused, and I think Duke's going to have a good run. So as much as I hate to do it, I'm going to live and die with the Blue Devils in my bracket this year.
May God have mercy on your soul.
And of course, I will be cheering for my bracket to be blown up.
This would be the greatest amount of money ever lost. This would be fantastic if it turns out different than anticipated.
All right. Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year, March Madness. We certainly hope Marquette goes far. And hopefully next time we do this podcast, Phil, we will be talking about matchups for the Sweet 16 and not a reminiscing on the season.
I couldn't agree more. I think we just will let the games play out, I'm calling it right now. We're going to be talking a week from now about Marquette's matchups. I just feel really good about it.
I feel good about it, too, so hopefully that is the case. Again, everyone, thanks for listening to Scrambled Eggs. I'm Joe McCann. You can find me on Twitter at JoeMcCann3, and you can find Phil Bush on Twitter at Moof23, M3OsF23. On the Twitter. Appreciate everyone listening. Hope your March Madness, hope your brackets are all seashells and balloons. Have a great week, everybody.